but about 6 billion people. No doubt we'll agree, this world is our home, not your property, it's the commons, our right of birth. And you would enclose the land all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
Good morning and welcome to Corporations and Democracy, a program that explores issues of community democracy and what we the people are doing to create sustainable democratic alternatives to corporate control. From the Philo Studio, I'm your host, Linda McClure. The views expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the opinions of station staff, members, or board. If you call in when the listener phone lines is open, please be aware this show is recorded and may be accessed at KZYXNZ's website archives or played at a later date. Greg Palast is known for his investigative reports for BBC, The Guardian, and The Rolling Stone. He's written 4 New York bestsellers, including Armed Madhouse, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, and The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, now a major nonfiction movie. Palast's new book, How Trump Stole 2020, The Hunt for America's Vanished Voters, has just been published. He joins us today to talk about the upcoming election and how we can steal it back. So good afternoon, Greg, and welcome, Greg Palast, we have, and welcome to KZYX and Corporations and Democracy.
Glad to be with you.
Great. So you've been a respected and award-winning investigative reporter for decades, exposing corruption and lies within the nuclear and oil industries, and more recently, voter suppression and fraud. Tell us a little about your background and what road you took that brought you to journalism and taking on corporate giants rather than working for them.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Yeah, that's I'm down here in Los Angeles where I grew up. I've worked all over the world in London for The Guardian and BBC, but I started out a place I can see right now, next to the garbage dump and the sewage plant and the power plant, which used to burn coal and destroyed my lungs when I was a little kid. And this is mostly a Chicano neighborhood, so we were expendable. So the reason I got into this work as investigative journalist, I started out as an investigator for 25 years for the Justice Department and several attorneys general.
Oh, interesting.
I wanted to find out the names of the guys that did this to us. Who were the people that dumped us next to the city dump? And why did they pick us out? And I wanted to find out who they were, name their names, expose them, and end the war on working people in America.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's about. So I basically, the reason I got into this business is to get even. Resentment. I want to find billionaires and eliminate them.
Don't get mad, get even.
Yes. And there, what I found is that with a few exceptions like Oprah, there's no such thing as a victimless billionaire. So I've been hunting these financial criminals my whole life. And one of the things that I found after 25 years as an investigator and then several years as a reporter for The Guardian in London is that these guys, that the one thing that they have to do is steal an election. Because if they don't steal an election, they can't win because there's 1% of them and there's 99% of us. So the arithmetic says that democracy means they're in trouble. So they have to defeat democracy, and that's what I've been working on. That's how I wrote the book, How Trump Stole 2020. When I say Trump stole it, when you read the book, it's really not, he doesn't have the brain cells to steal an election, but he has a bunch of very rich, very smart guys who have the means and the power to stop us from voting or stop our votes from counting. And when I mean us, they particularly hit low-income, young people, voters of color, because that's a politically vulnerable group that we belong to. But and that's how they steal the election. So Trump has already stolen the election, but we can steal it back. I don't want people to freak out and say, oh, no, it's all over. Put the horses in the wagon. Downhill from here. Nothing can be done. Not so. Don't worry. Don't panic.
Right, because you said you wrote it as a warning, not a prediction. So
that would be correct.
And so you're warning the American people of this impending disaster.
Yes.
And
very much so. And so, you know,
and
right
what
now,
are you warning them?
Had, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just what are you warning them about?
Several things. Number one, 17 million people have been removed from the voter rolls, erased, lost their vote in places like Georgia, in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, where the election will be decided. It won't be decided in California. And so I've uncovered that they've removed hundreds of thousands of voters illegally. I've also, and this is important because as we move to mail-in voting, I've been warning for 8 years about the problems in mail-in voting. No, it didn't start with Donald Trump. It didn't start with him, you know, stealing mailboxes in the middle of the night so you can't drop off your ballot. That's all silliness. That's all nothing. It's minor. In 2016, and I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about when Obama was president, 22% of mail-in ballots were never counted. That's according to MIT, an MIT study. That's one in five mail-in ballots didn't get counted under Obama. Now, was Obama trying to crush the mail-in vote? Absolutely not. Those are his voters. Okay, he doesn't want to do that. But we never had a mail-in system that's worked. Those people would say, oh, the mail-in system is wonderful, forget something. That who says it's wonderful? Has anyone actually investigated this? Well, someone has. That's Greg Palast. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a chapter in How Trump Stole 2020 called Mail-In Madness. It's about this fascinating, we know, we have to vote by mail or we're going to die. I don't want you to die to vote.
Right.
But I do want to make sure your vote counts. And the fantasy that mail-in voting is easy, that's baloney. California's had trouble, and we're one of the best states. We're one of the best states, the best state being Oregon and then Washington. But when you leave the West Coast, it's very different.
That's why I've never left the West Coast.
Well, the West Coast, you know, when you're in California, Washington, Oregon, Hawaii, Colorado, these states mail everyone a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, they're doing that now, right? So they mail everyone a ballot. And then, but in other states, you have to ask for a ballot, and one in 10 voters who ask for them never get them. And that's not the fault of the post office for the most part. So now we're saying mail-in voting depends on the post office. No, it doesn't. Most people who mail-in, quote, use mail-in voting don't actually use the mail. They use drop boxes.
Mm-hmm.
In the West Coast, California, Oregon, you know, it's the drop boxes are the number one choice of voters. And dropping your ballots off at the polling station or voting centers.
Right.
It is not. Most people don't mail in their mail-in ballots, and that's good. Don't mail in your mail-in ballot if you can avoid it.
What happens
right?
to it? I mean, I trust the Postal Service. They're considered the most trusted government, quasi-governmental agency in the nation. So what happens? Let's just say I'm home, I mark my ballot, I put it in the mail. What are the scenarios that can happen?
The problem is not that the post office won't deliver it on time. The problem is that they will. And then some guy in a Hawaiian shirt, some boogaloo boy, some maniac, will go in and challenge your ballot and say that ballot shouldn't be counted.
And how do they do that? They go to the voter reg office?
Yes, and also a lot of the voter officials, for example, secretaries of state, our little Catherine Harris's,
right,
who don't want your vote to count, have all these rules to say your vote won't be counted. Someone challenged your signature. In 2000, so remember, if we have, by the way, if we lose 22% of mail-in votes, which is the average, 22%.
And you said that was about 2 million.
People,
that was about 2 million ballots in 2016.
Yeah, and that were lost.
Mm-hmm.
About 23 million people voted by mail, remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something new, but most of that is in states like California, where we're not talking about it, where we have a mail-in state. Trump correctly distinguishes between absentee ballots and mail-in ballots. But of course, as usual, our president has it upside down.
So what is the difference?
Is what works.
What is the difference?
Okay, mail-in voting is what we do in the West Coast: California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Hawaii. You're mailed a ballot, and you can return it by drop. Usually, most people drop it off. That's mail-in balloting, where they mail the ballot to you.
Mm-hmm.
In the rest of America, we have what's called absentee balloting, which is what Trump likes, because you have to jump through 90 hoops not only to get your ballot, but to get it counted. So they'll say to you, no, your signature didn't match your registration signature. Now, the only reason they do that is to stop someone from stealing your ballot and voting for you. They disqualified 624,000 ballots in 2016. For someone challenging a signature. Now, did we have 624,000 stolen ballots, fraudulent ballots? No.
No.
In fact, as far as I know, there wasn't one. Out of the over 500,000, no one was arrested for this terrible crime of forgery, which is a felony, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
To forge a signature on a ballot, that's a felony crime. They didn't arrest anyone, but they removed 600,000 ballots. Here's the problem. And then they come up with other reasons not to count your ballot. You didn't fill in a bubble. You put an X instead of filling in the bubble. Someone challenged that. You folded it wrong. In New York, these are Democrats. Okay, the governor and the mayor of New York City told New Yorkers in the primary, mail in your ballot. That's the safe way to do it. Mail in your ballot. Mail in your ballot. Once the ballots were mailed in, they said, ha-ha, gotcha, and the Democratic Party establishment led by Carolyn Maloney, challenged 28% of the ballots were challenged and facing rejection. And a court actually said, okay, well, we'll throw out half the ballots. The difference is that the Justice Democrat lost the primary to the incumbent machine Democrat because they threw out these mail-in ballots. So imagine this. You have the governor saying, who's going to be giving the big keynote tonight at the Democratic convention, Governor Andrew Cuomo saying, mail in your ballot, it's safe. And now that you've mailed it in, I'm going to have my people challenge those ballots. So when the Democratic Party challenged 28% of all ballots, over 1 in 4 ballots, when the Democratic Party challenged or had rejected a quarter of all ballots, and they're telling you that it's safe. Imagine what happens in Georgia. Imagine what happens in Tennessee and Alabama and Arizona when you try to mail in your ballot. If you think 28% challenge is horrible and a lot, that ain't nothing compared to what's going to happen in November. So be very careful about your mail-in ballot. Am I saying don't mail in your ballot? No. If you're in the West Coast, you don't have a problem. If you're on the rest of the country, do several things. Number one, make sure you get your ballot. That's the biggest single problem, people not getting their ballot. That means you check your registration. I'm telling people to get the word out because, you know, you're broadcasting in California. We need people who can get the word out to the rest of the country. Make sure that you are registered. Check your registration online. And even in California, I know one voter who checked and was shocked to find out he wasn't registered. That was me.
And I'll bet you vote regularly.
I'd registered at the DMV, and, you know, it said no such voter when I checked online. So I re-registered online. You can do that in almost every state.
Mm-hmm.
Not New York, by the way, because the Democratic machine, the last thing that they want is a whole bunch of voters of color taking over. So, you know, some of the so-called progressive states aren't too progressive on this. But we've got a big problem. The Democrats are happy to win when the machine Democrats are happy to win an election by disqualifying voters en masse by the tens of thousands. We've got a problem because imagine what Trump and his minions are going to do in November in terms of challenges. If they do the Democratic Party thing, we're going to see 30 million ballots challenged. I actually think that's a wild underestimate, but hey, I figure 30 million ballots. People will either not receive them and miss their vote, receive them late, or they'll be challenged and they won't arrive. So we're focusing on one point of the loss. As MIT study says, there are many points in which, in the process, where mail-in ballots get lost and not counted. The post office is only a minor part of that issue. It's, you know, you could give the post office $100 billion and we'll still lose at least 1 in 10 votes. If there's 120 million ballots cast, that's 12 million. And let's not forget that when you talk about rejection of voters and rejection of ballots, according to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the chance your ballot will be disqualified is 900% higher if you're black than if you're white.
Now, how can statistics be collected on whose ballot is not counted? What the color of the skin is? Is it by demographic area and extrapolation of the numbers?
We have several things. Well, first of all, in the states where, like, the Civil Rights Commission was measuring, was they went to states where the rate, you know, in 13 states, race is on your registration card.
Ah.
That's by federal law.
Huh.
So in Florida, it says BLA next to your name if you're black. So we're not guessing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to. So
would it help to eliminate that?
Have race.
Would it help to eliminate? Would it help to eliminate that requirement?
Absolutely not. In fact, they're trying to. Those states, the most racist states, are trying to eliminate the reporting of race on registration forms because that is how the government tracks whether states are adhering to the Voting Rights Act, which still exists.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they have to keep track of race is to make sure that black people get to vote. But unfortunately, it's also used by the troublemakers to help identify those voters. But it's usually by, remember, we tend to vote. We vote like our neighbors vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me your zip code. I'll tell you who you voted for.
Uh-huh.
Pretty simple. You know, I mean, that's how it works in America. We vote like our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, am I saying with all these dangers, don't vote, don't fix the post office? No. Am I saying, and also I'm very concerned because Trump is now saying, okay, he's going to give money to the post office. He's going to go, you know, he's giving in because there's, and so we'll go to sleep again and say, oh, everything's fixed now. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Everything ain't fixed now.
Well, what kind of impact do you think the new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, the postal boxes being picked up, the sorting machines being removed, what impact do you think that will have? How debilitating will that be for the post office?
I think it's a really positive, it's a very positive change.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, until this guy started playing games with the sorting machines and the boxes and eliminating overtime and the rest, the complete BS line on the street is that mail-in voting was safe and secure and a good way to vote, and you get your vote counted. The post office takes care of your vote. No, it doesn't. Never has. Never will.
So they deliver it, though.
This guy finally said, you know what? Dracula is a bloodsucker. And until then, people said, oh, we thought Dracula ran a charity.
Uh-huh.
He ran a blood bank. No, Dracula didn't run a blood bank. He's a bloodsucker. The post office has never, ever in its history properly handled mail-in ballots, ever.
And what do they do? I mean, I understood that they delivered them, and then it was at the office in the counties that there was a challenge.
Yes. Oh, I didn't say that the post office challenges your ballot.
No,
that's
but
what I'm saying.
They
the
deliver all of
very,
them?
Has a very limited role in mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
See, we use the term mail-in voting, but what we mean is, you know, we mean that we don't go into the polling place.
Right.
Most people with mail-in voting do drop off their mail at drop
right.
boxes or voting centers.
Yes,
okay?
I work at the polls.
So the post office is not involved, and if you can avoid the post office, please do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's never handled it well, and now with a hostile administration, which has a long-term plan not just of wrecking the election, but of privatizing the post office. So this is a dual game,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a twofer for these guys. They want to show the post office is a disaster so they can privatize it.
Right, and they've been looking to do that for a while.
You know,
yeah. So how do you think
And so...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just
So what? So in how Trump stole 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it tells you how to save your vote. We have a ballot condom in there at the back. That's it's no, you don't wrap it around your ballot, but what you do is you follow the seven steps to make sure that your vote counts. So that means you either ask for your ballot a month or 2 months in advance. 2 months in advance, ask for mail-in ballot, unless you're in California when it's automatic. Ask 2 months in advance. If it's not there 3 weeks before the election, you go into the office of the county clerk. Google your local elections board.
Every county has one.
Google it for every county in America.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up your absentee ballot there.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that when fill it out carefully like you're taking the SAT, no miss marks, don't tape the ballot shut. Thousands of votes were lost in New York because people taped the ballots shut. And anyone with a piece of tape on that envelope, the outer envelope that you return, you just lost your vote in some states. An extra mark, anything. So be very, very careful. Follow all the rules. And if your ballot, for example, if your ballot envelope was torn or won't close, you have to go to the county clerk's office, get a new ballot, fill it out there, and give it to the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Or take your ballot into the clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
Every clerk in America, every county clerk will take that ballot. And even better, you can demand that they, can you verify and validate my signature right now so some boogaloo boy, some schmuck in a Hawaiian shirt, can't challenge that signature because you've already had it verified. Now, does this sound easy? No. Who told you that voting was easy? If you want your vote to count, it ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't mail it. If you get it, take it into the county clerk's office. Or if you do have a drop box or postal center, the other is that vote early. That means fill out your ballot, go in and drop it off at an early voting station. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
So I have found, you know, people talk about election day. We don't have election day in America. We have election month. Most states have early voting for 2 to 4 weeks.
Well, that's what I tell people is the polls are open for a month from.
Yes. So let's stop talking about election day because that's how you end up with these monster lines. So people say, oh, I didn't get my ballot. So now you got to wait in line 4 hours. Then you get to the end of the line and they say, you didn't get your ballot because you're not registered. They say, but I registered. Too bad, buddy. Fill out this provisional ballot, which we'll throw in the garbage after you leave. So take care. Don't wait for election day. For the election, because there's no election day anymore. It's election month. Put in your ballot early. Drop it off at an early voting center. These are simple things you can do to protect your life so you don't get a virus or you don't give it to grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do is make sure that your vote gets counted. So the way you get your vote get counted is, number one, so let me repeat. This is Greg Palast. This is in the ballot condom at the back of How Trump Stole 2020. Or you go to gregpalast.com. I have the ballot condom up there. You don't even have to buy the book, though I think you ought to. Because how many times can America go through these bum elections? Trump isn't the first guy to try to steal an election. George Bush was not elected. He was not reelected. Okay?
Right.
Trump, in 2016, lost.
Yeah.
If you counted all the votes and you let people vote who had been illegally blocked from voting, Trump lost. Michigan, he won by, 10,700 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, I have a chapter called Michigan, Michigas. So in that 10,700 votes, you also have another problem, which is 75,355 ballots were not counted in Detroit. Think about that. Seven times Trump's margin
mm-hmm.
were ballots. That's the total number of ballots in Detroit area that were not counted because of broken machines. That is, you vote on paper, but it's counted through a scanner. And the scanner is very sensitive, and some of these scanners broke down in Detroit because they were old.
Mm-hmm.
So who won Michigan? Who won the presidency? It wasn't Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going through this again. And now suddenly, I've been screaming in the book. Like I say, there's a chapter called Mail-In Madness. We've all gone crazy. Mail-in voting is the solution to everything. Yeah, it is. But let's not pretend that it's easy. Let's not pretend that the post office has been wonderful until Trump showed up. It hasn't been. It's been a disaster. A disaster.
But if you're saying that... That if the Postal Service delivers the ballots, where is their culpability?
Well, if they deliver it, great. And then I'm not saying they're culpable. If they deliver the ballot to you, great. 1 in 10 people just don't get their ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is not when they deliver it. The problem is when they don't.
I see.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to worry about.
So do you consider the Electoral College a form of voter suppression? And do you think it should be eliminated?
Yeah. But, okay. I also don't like gravity. It makes me, when I gain weight, it's hard to climb up a hill. But I can't repeal gravity or the Electoral College right now.
Uh-huh.
Not before November.
So your focus is
that we have enough people to let the American people can decide this election, as opposed to the tricksters and the vote thieves and the people that are the purge in generals that are stealing the vote away from people of color.
And
we can do that.
One more time, walk through what everyone should do.
Okay, so this is Greg Pallas, so listen up. Number one, check your registration. You could be one of the 16.7 million people purged. You ain't getting no mail-in ballot. Think about it this way. If you don't get the ballot mailed out to you, you can't mail it back in. Second, try to avoid the post office. Okay, if you don't get your ballot right away, go into the county clerk and get it. Mm-hmm. Fill it out and return it right there and get your signature validated. So go around the post office. In states with drop boxes, use those. Most states allow you to bring your ballot into the to early voting centers and just drop it off. And in some states, you can have what's called legal ballot harvesting, which is that someone can, in many states, you do have organizations which are authorized to pick up your ballot and take it into the county clerk's office, like League of Women Voters, your church group, and others, if you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's very, very important. And also follow all the rules. And there's so many crazy rules. In Alabama, you have to have either two witnesses or a notary sign off on your ballot.
Wow.
It's insane. Wisconsin, you need a witness. In Missouri, you need an affidavit, you need a notary. Now, some Democratic governors have tried to issue executive orders to eliminate some of these crazy rules like notarizing your ballot. But the courts are pretty much saying, too bad, you're stuck. So don't look. So if you read about a shortcut in the paper that the governor of Wisconsin said you don't need a witness signature, still, you better get your witness signature because the court's could well overturn it, which happened in Wisconsin. Tony Evers, a great governor, said in the middle of a pandemic, we can't ask people to go out and get witness signatures.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not. They sent in their ballot in the primary, and guess what? They lost their vote. Why? Because they listened to the governor, and the courts overturned it. Look, the GOP doesn't want you to vote. It's real simple. And this is not a partisan statement. I'm nonpartisan. I'm just telling you who's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look in the book, in How Trump Stole 2020, there's a chapter called California Reman, how the Democratic Party steals votes in California because we're a one-party state. Alex Padilla, our Secretary of State, is one of the worst vote suppressors in the nation.
And
violently opposed to young people voting. And does everything to block it in the primaries. But in the general election, it's the GOP. Because who's vulnerable? Young people, voters of color, low-income people. Who do they vote for? They're blue. When I say they're voters of color, the color is blue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, go get, pick. Obviously, like you'd pick up a copy of How Trump Stole 2020. It has a 48-page comic book in the middle by the great Ted Rall. It's an enjoyable read. Believe
mm-hmm.
in this story of the destruction of America's democracy. But go to gregpalace.com, get the ballot condom, whether you read the book or not. What I want is protect your ballot. I'm going to have to take off now,
yes.
But I really, really appreciate this opportunity to talk to my fellow Californians. Take care out there. Stay safe. Protect your ballot.
Thank
Greg
you.
Pallas reporting.
Thank you so much, Greg, for being with us.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. So that was Greg Pallast, and he has written for New York Times bestsellers, Armed Madhouse, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, and The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, along with his latest book, How Trump Stole 2020, The Hunt for America's Vanished Voters. We are going to take a little musical break, and then we're going to be talking with someone from our county election office. Stay tuned. This is KZYX and Z, Corporations and Democracy, and this is Linda McClure.
No doubt we'll agree, this world is our home, not your property, it's the commons, our right of birth. And you would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall, when we cut this ball and chain. You'd sacrifice the public good.
Welcome back to Corporations and Democracy. We just finished talking with Greg Palast about his new book, How Trump Stole 2020. We're now going to talk with Katrina Bartlamay, the Mendocino County Assessor, Clerk, Recorder, and in that capacity, she oversees the election office. So good afternoon, Katrina, and thanks for joining us on KZYX to talk about our local elections.
Hi, Linda. Thank you very much.
So our guest earlier, Greg Palast, has many concerns about the upcoming election, specifically on vote counting. As a relatively low population rural county, I've never seen long lines at the polls like many urban areas. But what is your greatest challenge to this upcoming election, Katrina?
Well, we hope that that the voters will vote and return the envelopes, the ballots that they are sent in the mail, sooner rather than later, and this will allow us to begin processing as soon as we start getting our ballots in. We hope that the polling places are used for those voters who need assistance. You know, if someone really wants to vote at the polls, we hope that they take their ballot that they received in the mail with them and turn that in. You know, we're hoping for fewer provisional ballots. We're hoping that because everyone is supposed to get a ballot in the mail, that's what they vote. Our ballots will be mailed out on October 5th, and that's the first day by law that we're allowed to mail them out. They will be able to return them in a drop box. We're going to have drop boxes throughout the county if they don't want to use USPS. And we will have 24/7 drop boxes at city halls in Willits, Fort Bragg, and Point Arena, and then, of course, the one here at 501 Low Gap Road in Ukiah. So we're just hoping that things can go as smooth as possible. We already have an 87% vote-by-mail population in Mendocino County, so we're hoping that the other 13% that we are sending, you know, ballots out to can go ahead and vote those ballots.
Will there be any polls open?
There will. There, we are able, since we're rural and, you know, within Northern California, that we are going to use the traditional polling place. Some of those polling places have changed. We're going to use the fairgrounds here in Ukiah for several of the Ukiah area polls, so we'll be able to combine those into Carl Purdy Hall. We're also going to use Little River Inn. They have a big room that we're going to be able to put Little River and Albion polling places at the Little River Inn. I believe the rest of the polling places will remain the same.
Okay.
And only be open on Election Day. We'll only, because we're going with the traditional polling places, then we only have to be open on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. So what is the deadline to register for November voting, and where can people register, and
The deadline is October 19th for a regular ballot. You know, we'll still have registering the same day. It'll be a conditional voter registration, and they can do that at their polling places or here in Ukiah. But we do really encourage people to try and register by October 19th. They can call our office, and we can send them a voter registration card, or they can go online to registertovote.ca.gov. It's registertovote.ca.gov. voters.ca.gov.
And how can someone check to see their voter registration status right now?
They can go onto the Secretary of State's website and check their registration. They have to have pretty exact perimeters, or they can call our office and we can verify it for them.
Okay. And what is your office number?
It's 707-234-6819. That's 234-6819.
Okay. And is there a difference between mail-in ballots and absentee ballots? Are they the same thing?
No, they're
different.
They are the same thing.
Oh, they are the same thing.
They are the same thing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of our Secretary of State changed the name of absentee to vote by mail a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
So we try to use several different titles, I guess, absentee, vote by mail, whatever to differentiate, I guess, or not differentiate between a mail-in ballot. It's a mail-in ballot is a mail-in ballot.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it in the mail, it's a mail-in ballot.
And do you mail out ballots to everyone? I know when I lived over in the Ukiah area for 20-some-odd years, I voted by mail. There was no polls. But then I moved over here, and I vote and work at the polls, actually. Do you typically mail ballots to everyone, or just those people who request or are required to have mail ballots?
Well, we have a permanent absentee status where you say on your voter registration card or on the back of your sample ballot that you want to become a permanent absentee, and that regardless you will get a mail-in ballot or a ballot in the mail. Or if you live in a precinct that has under 250 registered voters, then you're dubbed a vote-by-mail precinct, and that just means that you do not have a polling place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't differentiate and there is a polling place available for your precinct, then you would get, then you could go to a polling place and vote directly there. And it would say on the back of your sample ballot where you can go vote.
Uh-huh.
Or you can call our office and we can let you know.
So if people don't receive their ballots, what should they do? And how soon should they get them? You're mailing them out on October 5th. What date should they contact your office if they haven't gotten them?
Well, we're told by the post office, and that was all before all this
sabotage,
you know, current stuff, yeah, that it will take a week to get your ballot. So if you haven't received it within a week a week to 10 days, then call our office and we will cancel the ballot that we sent you and send you a new one.
Okay. And then, let's see, and you've talked about where people can mail off ballots. There was a time when we could only use voting machines at the polls, and now we have paper ballots. Was there a problem with voting machines, or did people just prefer paper ballots?
People preferred paper ballots. We still have, we have new machines now. They're called Hart Verity, and they will be at the polling places as well. So if people choose to use those, they're more than welcome to use those. But people in Mendocino County seem to prefer a paper ballot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's talk about the vote counting process. Do you count, mail votes as they come in? You don't wait till election night to count them?
Correct. And it used to be this election, we can start processing or counting ballots as soon as we get them in. Normally, we have to start 10 days prior, we can start opening them and preparing them to be run through the machines and everything. So the 10 days prior to Election Day, we would start that. Now what we'll do is we'll get them in the mail, we'll check the signatures, and then we'll sort them into precinct order like we always have. And then once we get a few hundred in, we can go ahead and start processing them, start running them through the machines and tallying them, although nothing will be uploaded to where we know what it is or to where the public does until election night. But we do a lot of work before election night. Election night, the first results are the absentee ballots that we've gotten in so far, and then the rest of the results throughout that night are as the polling places come in. And once we have all of our polling places in, that's when we can end our night. And we update the website about every 2 hours after, you know, 8 o'clock. So we'll do one as close to 8 o'clock as possible, and then every 2 hours after that. Mm-hmm. We report those results to the Secretary of State, and we post them on our website.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a provisional ballot. What is a provisional ballot, and how is it counted?
A provisional ballot is if I come over to Boonville because I'm working over there or I'm spending the day over there and I forgot my ballot, I can go to your polling place and I can say, I'd like to vote, but I don't have my ballot. So you would give me an envelope to fill out, which is this year they're going to be a conditional / provisional ballot. I fill out all the information. I say, yes, I'm registered. This is my address. You give me a ballot. I vote it, and I put it in there. So those are all sorted into precinct order to where, you know, they're supposed to be and remade if necessary because maybe I can't vote on everything. Like, I wouldn't be able to vote on the Boonville Community Services District, Anderson Valley Community Services District, because I live in Ukiah. Mm-hmm. So it would be remade to the ballot that I was able to vote on, and then those ballots and envelopes basically are processed later. And the reason, and that's during our canvass, and the reason is to make sure that I didn't already turn in a ballot mm-hmm. or I didn't try to vote at another polling place with a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time that we would not count one of those is if it was from out of county, because we're not allowed to count out of county. If you live in Sonoma County and you vote in Mendocino County, we're not allowed to send that ballot to Sonoma County, so that is not counted. Or if it totally was not registered and you did not include a voter registration card with your provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm. And are there other categories of ballots? There's provisional, or you said, what was the other provisional?
Conditional.
Conditional. What is that? When do you use a conditional ballot?
That same day registration.
I see.
So, yeah, so you would definitely, you would come and you would say, like I would come to you and I'd say, I'm not registered, but I'd like to vote. So you'd give me a voter registration card and the envelope to fill out. I'd bring it back to you all complete. You'd look at it to make sure the voter registration card was signed and, you know, pertinent information like that. There's a name, there's an address. And then you would give me a ballot. I would vote that ballot, and I would put it inside the envelope, and you would put the voter registration in the slot outside the ballot, so it's all one unit, and that would come to Ukiah. And those are counted the same way basically provisionals are. We would make sure that you weren't registered here in Mendocino County, or if you moved, we'd update your address. We'd look at it, make sure everything was okay, and then we'd process that ballot.
And if the two candidates, let's say there's two in a race, and one of them has a large margin, would those provisional ballots, would you bother to go through all of that checking if the number of provisional and conditional ballots wouldn't make a difference, even if they all went to the person who hadn't won?
We process every single ballot that we receive.
Uh-huh.
So we would go through all the provisionals. We would handle them like we do every other provisional, and we would process it. Everything that we get in, we process it. Either it's not countable, and we would mark it and say why it's not countable, that the person was not registered at all, they didn't provide us a voter registration card, and things like that. That's that's when it wasn't signed. We try and get them to sign it. Now we have 17 days curing period, it's called, that we can send out letters and say, you didn't sign this, please sign it, return it to us, and then we can process it if that were the only thing that we found wrong with that ballot.
What other things do you find wrong with ballots?
That they're not signed. They're mm-hmm. not filled. They're not.
And it's the envelope. You know, it's the envelope that it comes in with. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know it's not signed.
The provisional and conditional ballots also come in a different envelope, so a different color envelope. So
right.
Yeah. So they're probably,
and those are handled a little bit different, as you know, as a poll worker. Those are put in a box or in a envelope by themselves,
right. Mm-hmm.
So they're not, you know, so they're not intermingled with the actual ballot. The actual ballot is just put into a ballot box, mm-hmm. so they're all nice and neat and in there, and we can go ahead and count those with no problem. And then, like I said, the provisionals or conditionals are processed later after we've scanned in all the rosters and we know that that person didn't vote in Ukiah and signed their roster, or they didn't. The provisionals are counted after we've processed all the mail-in ballots, because we scan in all of the barcodes, and then we check signatures on everything. So, and we have had a couple times where, you know, someone votes early and they've forgotten that they voted.
Oh.
So they go and they vote a provisional ballot, and we look at it, and, you know, we know there's no malice there, so we just don't count that provisional ballot. We'll put already voted on there.
And if can someone have someone else bring in their mail ballot to the polls?
They can, as long as they authorize that person to bring it in.
So there's a signature place on that envelope.
Yes.
So if people are sending,
I would give you permission to bring my ballot in, and it would be signed. The poll worker checks that, makes sure that it's authorized, and they take it. If it's not authorized, you know, they can put it in the mail and send it in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And who is present? What is the vote count? Who's present when the ballots are counted? I know if you count the mail-in ballots as they come in, then probably just your regular staff. But election night, what does your office look like?
We have media here. Sometimes we have the grand jury here watching our process. We did that in March. That was kind of fun to have them asking questions and everything. When we are actually processing the ballots in the secure room, there has to be at least two people in that room at all times. If one person has to get up to do something, the other person goes to the door and stands there. There is not one person alone in that room at any time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then our extra help ladies that open the ballots, they work in teams, and the same thing. If their partner has to go and get something or go to the restroom, that person does not touch the ballots. They back up from the table, and they leave the ballots until their partner comes back.
Mm-hmm. How many people are registered to vote in Mendocino County?
We have about 51,000 right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's about between 85 and 90,000, more on the 85,000, I think, population. So is that, do you think most of the eligible voters are registered?
No, I think that we probably have more eligible voters that just don't wish to be registered.
Mm-hmm. And what percent voted in 2016, if you remember? I looked that up, and I was shocked, but I don't remember specifically what it was, but I know it was a very low turnout for November of 2016. Not very low, but lower than I expected.
I can look. Usually we have a higher turnout than most counties do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we're a very politically aware and active county, so I would think, although I have friends who are great activists and work so hard at the things they do, and they don't believe in voting, it makes me pull my hair out.
Yeah, that has always gotten to us, you know. Why, let's see, as OBC, I'm trying to find the right report that will show me.
You're listening to KZYX and Z. This is Corporations and Democracy. We're talking with Katrina Bartlemay, who is our county clerk. Let's see, you have quite a title there. You're assessor, clerk, recorder, and oversees our election
Correct.
Process.
Registrar of voters.
Registrar of voters. And we're talking about Mendocino County voting.
So, Linda, I have one of my summary reports up from the November 2016 result, and we actually had 75.89% turnout.
Oh, okay. Well, that's much better than I had originally somehow deducted.
So we usually have between 60 and 75%. And something that is odd is our vote by mail or our absentee turnout is usually pretty high, and then our polling place turnout usually brings us down. We've had as low of a turnout as 12% at our polling places. So some have, you know, very, very low turnout. Over in Anderson Valley, you guys usually have one of the better turnouts.
Good.
So, so it's nice to have a community that does that. Fort Bragg usually has a pretty good turnout, you know, over on the coast. But, you know, some of them are low. And some of them could be 40 or 50%. And which is probably what this was, you know, that I'm looking at here. So it all depends on what's on the ballot.
Yes.
And how interested people are. I would think with everything that's being talked about with this election and all the different things that our president's saying and everything else, I would imagine, I would hope that we have a good turnout. This election is in the news all the time. Sometimes that's bad, but, you know, sometimes it just heightens everyone's expectations to where, you know, it's a good voter turnout. So I'm sure hoping for the best.
Yes. And when do you declare the final count as official? How much time do you have? And what kinds of delays are you up against?
Well, we normally have 28 days to certify our election. So what we have to do first is we have to prove the numbers that we released on election night. So we go back and we audit every polling place and make sure that the numbers balance. Usually we have no problem balancing, but sometimes, you know, especially if a provisional ballot is put in, then we have to justify what that is. Our poll workers are real good at taking notes and saying, you know, oh, provisional ballot got put in. This is the provisional ballot person that got put in to the regular ballots. And so that's okay. As long as we can justify why that number was one off or three off or whatever, then it's okay. So we do that, and then we go through. We have to do a 1% manual tally. So we randomly choose, our computer randomly chooses three precincts because we have 249 precincts, consolidations. And so we choose three, and then we randomly choose a precinct that every race is in. So some races, one of the precincts could have three or four races in it, so that's nice that, you know, we'll be able to check one ballot with that. Some of them, you know, if like the city of Point Arena has a race on there, their city council this time will be on the ballot. So we have to make sure that we have that precinct checked. So we check one precinct for every race that's on the ballot. And we count manually every ballot. We have a sheet, and this time we would count president. So we'd all go through that race, count all those ballots. Then we'd go through with a check mark. We have a sheet, And then we'd go to the next race, we'd go to the next race, we'd go to the next race until every ballot is accounted for. And so far, we have never been off a vote. So we're very proud of that.
I'll say. Well, as a poll worker, I know that those counting, the signatures and the ballots and making sure everything, you know, works out, all the numbers are there. It's quite an interesting process. I encourage anyone who has an interest in it to look at being a poll worker. It's very rewarding, and you get to see your whole community because about half the people who come in on election day come in to put their mail ballot in the box. Well, Katrina Bartlame, I sure appreciate you being on the show and talking about our elections. And this is a pretty exciting one. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you and your staff really have your work cut out for you.
We do. We're looking forward to it. We're, you know, like I said, we're getting the ballot ready. We're getting the sample ballot ready to be able to send to the vendors to be printed and, you know, crossing our T's and dotting our I's and making sure there's no typos. And, you know, of course, there's always a couple typos that go through that through all our checking processes, you know, we've not seen. So, you know, we keep our fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. And we're just like everybody else. You know, we hope for the best. We're not sure what's going to happen. We're going to take it one problem at a time and do absolutely everything possible to count your ballot. And we, that's our job. We want to count your ballot, and that's what we do.
Well, I hear stories around the rest of the nation about various problems they have, and I so appreciate the professionalism and the just good work that you and your office does and have done for a long time.
Thank you. And, you know, I think everybody needs to remember that, you know, California may be a lot of things, but, you know, we lead the nation in our security. And I just wish that other states could, you know, could have the security that we do and that we trust for our ballots and making sure everybody's vote is a secret ballot and making sure that everybody's ballot gets counted. And, you know, if you get a letter from us or a phone call that your signature doesn't match, then respond to it and let us know, you know, I broke my hand. I can send you a new voter registration card, whatever. But please respond to us, because if you don't respond to us, we can't count your ballot if there's a signature or a missing signature. So, you know, we call and we call. If we have a number, we send letters. We do everything we possibly can to count every ballot that we possibly can.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for all the good work that you do. And we'll see how November turns out.
We will. Be patient with us.
Right. I know you're all doing your very best on a big job.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda, very much.
And, okay.
Anytime, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks.